I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, it is William Henry. I'm going to jump into the alien ET connection and the Anunnaki with the rainbow robe. We'll be back with William Henry right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight is William Henry. William, I said right before the break, this is where things get a little bit serious, especially for me and our listeners, is the possible ET connection. And with your research, the question has always been there with angels from the heavens and the gods from the heaven and the stars and the intelligence and the knowledge. That's where it came from. And all of this is connected, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, what we are the fulfillment of a plan for the evolution of humanity, call it alien intelligent design, if you like, that began at least 5,000 years ago, probably longer ago than that. And when you look into the Sumerian text, the story of the Anunnaki augmenting the human body to make us a slave race, or perhaps augmenting the human body to make it a more conducive vehicle for the ascension of the soul, as I believe, when you look to the ancient Egyptians, the story of Ptah, the god who the ancient Egyptians said fashioned the human body, we are talking about entities coming from the stars that are directly influencing the human body, and ultimately with the plan to being able to allow us to use tools to activate our neocortex, which was the hardware was there for a couple hundred thousand years, but it had to be switched on. And the benefit of switching on the neocortex is now we can learn quickly. We can we can watch and learn, which means we can easily adapt new behaviors, new abilities, just simply by monkey see, monkey do, and that teaching can be passed along through generations. We see this plan for the implantation of technology in human affairs. The gods always had helmets of salvation. They had necklaces of immortality. They had resurrection sticks. They had power robes and power garments. This is what made them the mighty ones, the giants of old, as they were called. And humans looked to these beings and said, hey, I want one of those power cloaks. I want one of those helmets of salvation. I want that resurrection stick, that power stick. And so humans started to mimic the gods and even to seek to become gods ourselves. And this is what we're talking about today.
Did the Watchers share some of this technology too?
The Watchers, according to the Essenes, brought the secrets of heaven with them.
Right.
And they taught the art of technology. So this is, you can point to the Watcher angels as being among those who were the ones who were originally bringing some of this technology to Earth. And in fact, at the time of Jesus, there was a lot of discussion about these extraterrestrial powers and their influencing of the human story. Paul, the Apostle Paul, warned against these powers, and he said that the only way for us to win this cosmic battle, he said the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers of this dark world and spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. And he urged us, Paul urged us, to augment or supplement the human body with tools, or what I call spiritual apps, for battle against this otherworldly force. He said we've got to put on our helmet of salvation. We've got to put on our breastplate of righteousness, meaning open up our heart chakra. We've got to wear the belt of truth. We've got to stand in the sandals of peace, and we have to hold the shield of faith. Paul is talking about exactly what Silicon Valley is talking about today. It's like, yeah, you need tools. But instead of putting on a helmet of salvation or a helmet of the wisdom, we're going to implant it in your neocortex. Instead of you wearing a breastplate on the outside of your body made of 12 jewels, we're going to develop nanobots that are going to activate the power of the heart chakra and the heart's magnetic field. The belt of truth, yeah, we're going to make sure you speak the truth, our truth. And if you waver from that truth, you're going to get a belt of truth. Huh? Get it? So what we're talking about here is a human ideal that has been in our imagination for thousands of years that is now finding a manifestation via technology. And Silicon Valley is on its way to creating a new skin or a new suit of armor for humanity that exactly imitates the very armor of God that Paul spoke about is going to help us win the spiritual or cosmic battle.
Do we embrace this? Do we embrace this idea? Or is this something that we need to, you know, be wary about and possibly confront?
I believe that what is missing in this conversation, the way I look at it, these technologies, bits, atoms, neurons, and genes, again, right. Computer technology, nanotechnology, neuroscience, genetic science, it's all converging on the human body. Those are simply retooled or technological versions of what we used to call earth, air, fire, and water, the elements of which our body is composed. But what is missing in this conversation, but which the digerati are well aware of, is the fifth element, which is spirit, soul. As I mentioned earlier, Ray Kurzweil, Steve Jobs, they believed it was their mission and their raison d'etre to infuse technology with spirit. And what I'm saying is that, no, the spiritual side of this would be that we must control this technology by spiritual means, which means we need to up-level our abilities of mind over matter and love over hate. This is the core of it right here. And if we are beings of light and love, and we increase what I refer to as our ascension intelligence rather than our artificial intelligence,
right,
we will ascend to the level of the angels and realize we don't need this technology at all.
Right.
We already have this latent intelligence within us. We already have the telepathic abilities. We already can do a lot of the things that we're trying to mimic with technology.
Isn't it funny that Jobs got really, really close to succeeding in that? And that people that are Apple users love their Apple products. They are at one. They're there. They're connected. The Windows users don't have that bond.
No, they didn't succeed. No, because Steve Jobs intentionally set out to infuse his technology with a spirit.
Right.
And that spirit is in their products. It's in the design of the product. I believe he succeeded.
Yes.
But I'm a big fan of Steve Jobs. Love him or hate him. If you believe he was a nice guy or a total creep, as many people do, he still was able to do wondrous things. But the problem is, not really the problem, but what people say is that, well, wait a minute, isn't this the Garden of Eden all over again? Isn't Apple just simply the return of the symbol of our ultimate fall?
That's right.
And this is the argument against the transhumanism is that Christianity believes that transhumanism and the implantation of technology is a new fall for humanity. But the transhumanists would argue that what they're trying to do is correct the fall. So this is, we're caught in the crossfire here of two competing worldviews. The Judeo-Christian worldview, which has basically run the world for the past couple thousand years, is now smashing into the new digerati or technocratic reality that says, okay, we don't need religion anymore. We don't need spirituality anymore. We've got this magic technology, and we're going to link everybody together here and create this new golden age. And in fact, what we're going to do is we're ultimately going to, as they're proposing now, sort of a group of elders are wanting to come together, an invisible college, so to speak, like Francis Bacon used to write of, that would represent a group of wise elders that would direct this technology and teach all us sheeple how ultimately we can become just and righteous beings just like them.
Right, right. You want to take some calls really quick?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's jump into some calls. I've got Eric truck driving right now through Utah, west of the Rockies. Eric, say hi to William Henry. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, thanks for having me on, you guys. Hey, I wanted to ask William, I'm not sure if maybe there's a term for it or not. I kind of like to call it social media sickness. It seems like anymore, and I think a lot of people could agree, nobody really likes talking to one another. They pretty much just get all their information off of, like, status updates, so... And kind of what you guys have been talking about, all this technology and stuff. I really enjoy seeing what the future is going to bring and what it is kind of beholding for us all. But, you know, I've even walked away from Facebook myself. But I kind of feel like anymore, the way the trend's going, people are all going to be staying on it, and it's going to get more involved. It kind of creeps me out a little bit. But I don't know. Do you see this trend of like a closing off from reality because of this?
William, before you answer, let me jump in, Eric, and ask you a question. You no longer drive an engine and wheels and a steering wheel. Okay? You are completely connected. You are in the Matrix. Your truck, you've got satellite, probably satellite TV, you've got satellite radio, you've got the internet, you've got cell phones, wireless, Bluetooth. You are a rolling satellite computer system. It's just not diesel fuel and a couple of rubber tires.
Right?
You are a technical marvel. So what you're driving, you're driving the skin, literally, that William is talking about, isn't he, William?
Absolutely. When you start to look at some of the future projections for what our automobiles are going to turn into, they also mimic what the ancients called the Merkaba, the chariot of the gods. This is what von Däniken was getting at when he thought the gods were flying around in tin can spaceships, but they were actually these consciousness light vehicles that were at one with the beings riding inside them. And it's really incredible how, when you look over into the transportation sector, how we are evolving even into that aspect of creating these new Merkaba vehicles, where we are, as you said, Jimmy, becoming one with these vehicles. And it is our identity, but it's also our link to the world as well. And more people will be one with their vehicles, living in their vehicles and being fed by it.
Yeah, Eric, you pull into a truck stop, you get out, you've got your smartphone, you've got your tablet, you go into the truck stop to take a little break, and you're still connected to your truck, you're still connected to your dispatch, everybody knows where you are, your GPS, you're followed, and you're updating your Facebook and you're tweeting at the same time, aren't you?
Well, you know, it's illegal to do any of that stuff behind the wheel, but, you know, yeah, once you're at the truck stop and everything, it is nice to get on and check to see what, you know, is happening out there outside the little metal box and the highway and everything. But, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. It's a nice viewpoint, I guess, of it. I never thought of it that way.
Well, it's only because, and William, I know that you agree with me, you know, when you look at an independent truck driver that is out there, they are some of the most connected people on this planet. They have to be, not only with GPS, but everything else that is involved now. And they certainly understand technology.
Yeah, they do. And getting back to Eric's original point about how our connected world was supposed to make us better, I mean, there's no question that Steve Jobs created amazing technology with the iPhone, the iPad, and so forth, and all the tablet technology that's come out of it. And it was supposed to connect the world together, but it's really had the effect of turning us into what people would argue is really lesser human beings. We're becoming a detached group of people who would rather get that burst of adrenaline from checking our iPhones or our email over talking with another human being who's sitting right beside us. And I think this is the sickness that Eric was talking about. And people are getting, they're realizing they're addicted to this, and they're in some cases really getting sick of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, thank you. Be safe out there.
Hey, thanks, you guys. Keep up the good work.
You got it. Thank you, Eric. Be safe. Let's go to Stacy Wildcard out there in Massachusetts. Stacy, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello. I just have a few things to say, and just one thing that I'm kind of concerned about. When you talked about in the future that we're going to be implanted with all these things and we have no say in it, it kind of sounds like the mark of the beast, because God gave us free will as a gift, and God did make us in his image, but we're assuming corruption because of Adam and Eve's sin. But, you know, God made Adam out of dirt and then put him to sleep and made him Eve out of his ribs. So he said, flesh my flesh and bone of my bones. And when they ate the apple, they knew they were naked. And so how do we know that they would, you know, God did not make clothes for them out of, like, leather, you know, or something like that? And I think we should have free will because, you know, we should have a say in what we do.
Yeah, I agree with you, Stacey. Did you have a question for William?
It sounds like you're saying that we have no say in anything, and if that's true or just speculation, or I'm sorry.
Well, and thank you for the phone call. William, I actually brought that up with you earlier. You know, will we have an option in this? Or will there be like half of the world is non-skinned, you know, and half we can live in communities that are skinned and we could make a choice and maybe even coexist? As strange as that sounds.
This is the clash of civilization that I alluded to earlier, where you've got, back in the 90s, you had half the world's population that did not have a toilet or a telephone or clean water. One half of the people had no toilet, no clean water, no telephone. UN says that's changing. More people now in India have cell phones than have toilets. And that is pretty fundamental. That's pretty basic, and it's showing the divide in our civilization. And maybe what you will see happen is that rather than allow them to blow smart dust or neural dust into our brains, and isn't it ironic, as the caller said, God formed us from the dust of the ground and breathed life into our nostrils. So Silicon Valley wants to breathe dust into your neocortex and give you new bodies that correct the corruption of our code that the book of Genesis describes. They believe that is their mission. But maybe modern humans will say, no, you know what? I'm going to opt for an island somewhere. I'm going to go to a third world country where we don't have this pressure to compete, where we don't have this pressure to implant this technology within us. And I'm going to perhaps do this as a spiritual choice because I'm going to want to slow my life down. I want to get back to the way it used to be, or back to normal, as if that ever existed, right? And so this could be choices that we'll start to see people making, where they unplug from this sickness on the one hand, but this incredible opportunity that we have on the other hand, and just decide they're going to opt out. But as I said before, the trajectory of this technology is that the implantation, that the chipping of America will not be by choice. It will be mandatory. And we're starting to see this with mandatory vaccines in California. We're starting to see other manifestations of this around the country.
Well, let me jump in, William, because we're right against a network break. We're going to follow up on this when we come back. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, William Henry. More with William right after this. Stay with us. Our guest tonight is William Henry, the singularity. It's an amazing, amazing concept, and we are on the brink. More of your phone calls with William Henry right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, for the evening. Our guest is William Henry. William, let's go straight back to the phones. They are completely jammed up. Let's go to Thomas Wildcard down in San Diego, California. Thomas, welcome to Coast to Coast. Say hi to William Henry.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy, for taking my call. And William Henry, it's an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to speak with you. I wanted to make a short comment and then a question. 80 years ago, nuclear physicist Enrico Fermi, he was with the Manhattan Project, and he looked out at the cosmos and he postulated the question, where is everybody? And the reason why he asked that was that there's 100 billion stars in our galaxy, and he postulated we should be hearing some sort of communication. And even the SETI scientists searched for extraterrestrial intelligence are asking that question over the last 80 years is, where is everybody? I mean, we should be hearing evidence of galactic broadband, galactic internet, galactic social media, galactic Facebook, if you will. Now, my question for you, William Henry, is I believe that those civilizations are out there, billions of them, but I believe that they all hit the wall. They hit a dead end, and that dead end is the technological singularity. It's technological transcendence. And I believe that you're onto a very important idea that, you know, 2018, 2020, when we get the singularity, it's going to be a bust. And the real singularity is developing our own light body, as you propose, and we become our own walking, talking Stargate, so to speak. You know, we can transcend at will. We can materialize and dematerialize at will. We can, you know, transport ourselves over vast interstellar distances at will, etc.
Well, Thomas, I agree with all of that, and I'm sure William does too, but I lost sight of the question. Can we get back to the question?
Well, Mike, I think the question is, isn't the technological singularity a dead end?
Ah, there you go. All right.
And where is everybody? And thank you for your question, Tom. It's an honor to talk to you as well. And your comment is spot on. It's why I wrote The Singularity Is Near, which is subtitled The Next Human, The Perfect Rainbow Light Body, and The Technology of Human Transcendence, which the book is free, by the way. It's on my website, williamhenry.net, and there's a nice video presentation, an hour and a half presentation you can watch there as well. And I want to address that because we are on the brink of, let's backtrack just a second, Jimmy. I mean, we're talking about the Anunnaki a moment ago, who many people believe came here 450,000 years ago with a level of technology that we presently have in our hands today. So where did the Anunnaki go? Well, if they also experienced a skingularity or a singularity, they went into the inner realms. They either attained their spiritual light body, or as some people propose, they follow the trajectory that we're headed for, which is creating an artificially intelligent simulated reality.
Right.
And that ultimately, if you want to find the Anunnaki, you're not going to look out in space and find some giant planet Nibiru floating around out there. The Anunnaki are in some supercomputer buried in a mountain somewhere, and we're about to link with them through artificial intelligence. As a matter of fact, I'm right now finishing an article called Ancient Alien Astro Chickens, Self-Replicating Robots and the Ancient Egyptian Island of the Egg, which shows how the ancient Egyptian myths of creation can perfectly be explained by artificially intelligent cedar ships being sent to Earth with all of the requirements for civilization, nanobots, biological material, and so forth, unfolding and ultimately terraforming the Earth and leading to this moment today where we are rediscovering the secrets of the gods, which is artificial intelligence. And so we are at that moment right now where we are about to catch up with these ancient beings, either in a technological sense, and as Tom suggested, the singularity could be a bust, or in the spiritual sense, the skingularity, where all of a sudden we see spontaneous ascension and we see people manifesting their light body vis-a-vis examples of people like Moses, Elijah, Jesus, Padmasambhava, and others.
And isn't it funny how we have two versions of us, Homo sapien, that appeared 450,000 years ago and 150,000 years ago. That's it in our timeline. We just showed up, but it matches with the Sumerian tablets and that mythology. And it's not a coincidence.
No, it's not. And so this the whole idea of artificial intelligence or ascension intelligence, as I also seek people to get to understand, is that this is ultimately where this extraterrestrial question is leading. We are not going to find civilizations out there. We are going to find them in here. And so when Tom is saying, well, where is everybody? The answer is they're in simulated realities because they've dispensed with their physical bodies altogether. And this is that gets to the crux of the matter, is that the human body is not designed to go into space. But even the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. There is clearly a barrier that our flesh and blood bodies cannot live in space. This is why NASA is so interested in augmenting the human body with technology, because it's going to make it a more conducive vehicle for space travel. But ultimately, the technologists, the digerati, technocrati, they believe that we should dispense with our flesh and blood bodies altogether and live in simulated realities generated by artificially intelligent quantum computers that will create a reality that is so much better than the one we live in that we'll never go back into this mundane three-dimensional world. And so if you have to at least consider the possibility that the Anunnaki, possessing the technology we have today, followed that path, and that we ultimately will catch up with them in a simulated reality.
Let's go to Michael, east of the Rockies in central Indiana. Michael, what part of Indiana are you in?
Madison County.
Okay. You know, I'm from Naptown.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Jimmy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Michael. Say hi to William Henry.
Hey, William Henry. You're named after Michael? Two great kings.
Yes, he knows that, too.
Yeah.
What's your question tonight, Michael?
Well, I've got a comment. I've got 29 plus artifacts in my body, plus two artificial lens in my eyes, electronic chip in my right wrist, an electronic pulsating device implanted in my lower back for pain. And so I'm wired. And if I had a question, where do I get in line for the other stuff?
Well, start paying attention. Go to the consumer electronics shows, for example, where they're starting to roll this technology out. You'll actually start to buy it at Best Buy in the next year or two. This is the next mega trend, where we're going to see this technology coming into the consumer market that enables you to hack your brain, to put yourself in this meditative state, if you like.
Well, I'm already taking a regimen of medications every day for cognitive enhancement, and that's working so far. But I just want to break out and get it all.
Well, see, this is the trajectory that a lot of people are wanting to follow. They're saying, wait a minute, I've got a taste of this. I want to go forward. What I would encourage you to do is to begin a spiritual regimen of meditation and just simple focus on love, focus on connecting with your spirit, because that is what makes us ultimately and truly human, and is going to give you a greater sense of wholeness ultimately. And in the long run, I believe that's going to serve your soul better than seeking some of the maybe anti-aging drugs that have recently been approved for testing, or maybe looking like going down the skin cell route, where you can really regrow your entire body out of skin cells. I mean, what good is a body without a soul, right? You just become a robot. And
well, speaking on the soul, I have been contacted. I don't like to talk about this, but I have been contacted. And I don't know if it's an ET or a spiritual entity or whatever it is, but it gave me some great advice. But I still, in this earthly scenario or whatever you call it, I just don't know where to go.
Well, I think it's a great point, and thank you for the phone call, Michael. I think it's a great point that he's bringing up here, William, which is he's not afraid of technology. He's not afraid to move forward. He wants He doesn't want to wait till 2020.
Right. And I don't, I'm not trying to say that you should be afraid of the technology. What I'm saying is that you have to ultimately look within yourself and ask the question, who is controlling me with this technology? Am I in control of the technology, or is the technology in control of me?
That's right.
And that's the question you have to answer before you allow technology in your skin or your body. How do we control it? Who is controlling it? Is there an off switch? And ultimately, is this going to make me a more whole person? And from my perspective, what I'm interested in is becoming a more holy person. And I have to evaluate everything in my life in light of that. Is it making me a more whole, holy, or complete person? If not, then I'm going to try and eliminate it from my life.
Right. I had read about and saw some video stuff on a cell phone now that is it's printed on paper, right? The technology's there. It works, right? Mm-hmm. Now, how close, what is the difference between that, and I'm talking about a baseball card-sized thin cell phone made out of paper. Mm-hmm. How close are we to that being a sticker? Think about that. You just go to 7-Eleven and you buy your peel it and slap it on your arm. You know, that's where we are right now with this technology, absolutely wearing it, and we could do it tomorrow. There's no difference between a paper cell phone, a cardboard cell phone, and one that you would peel and stick it on your neck.
Exactly. But and this is going to the conception of the smart human, and this is the ultimate goal of the digerati or the technocrati, is to create a race of smart humans. And by smart doesn't mean higher IQ. It just means more controllable, more programmable, and more predictable.
Let's grab one more call right before the break. Cornelius Wildcard out in Louisiana. Cornelius, welcome to Coast to Coast. Say hi to William.
Hey, William and Jimmy. God bless both of y'all. I'm here in Alexandria listening to 970 KSYL. My question for you, I believe in Bible prophecy. I'm the guns, God, and gold man, and the Bible bullets and beans. For Christians, this would be like taking the mark of the beast. So if he's anything with the Bible, I'd like to know how he feels. And you too, Mr. Church. And God bless you all, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Cornelius. That is the obvious question right there, William. The book that I talked to you about, that I had read books about this in the early 80s, it was all about that. That once you wear this, once you get the implant, once you get the chip, once you go this far, that is the signal of the end times and the mark. And that's an obvious step for a lot of Christians.
It is. It's never been more obvious.
Right.
That we'll have this mark in our right hand or in our forehead in order to buy or sell. That's the prophecy of the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation. But here's the kink, and this is where it gets kind of twisted, is that actually this technology is the fulfillment of Christian prophecy. Because it's in the West where this technology is being developed, which has the Christian ethos of our return to our original perfection and the repair of our corrupted code, which call it sin, call it the fall of man, whatever. Silicon Valley thinks our code is corrupt, and they want to implant this technology in order to perfect or correct that code. This technology does not come out of Asia, does not come out of Africa. It comes out of the Christian West. And I explain the trajectory of this technology and how it was believed by mystics like Francis of Assisi, Francis Bacon, Isaac Newton, and others believed that this new technology was literally a gift from God that would free us up to be able to perfect our original light bodies that Adam and Eve once attained. And so here's Silicon Valley and the digerati actually fulfilling the Christian prophecy of the emergence of a new human being in the end times and the creation of just humans made perfect. And this is something that I'm highly encouraging Christians to really contemplate here, that this is where this is coming from. And ultimately, yes, on the one hand, it is the mark of the beast, but on the other hand, it is the fulfillment of Christian prophecy.
What do we do? I just saw this on Twitter. And what do we do if we just want to die and can't? We're walking with too much technology, and it's hanging off of us, and it's inside of us, and maybe we're just tired.
Well, you know, this is it, and it's, you wonder, we have basically two choices when you're talking about your ultimate ascension. You're going to either ascend spiritually, and you're going to attain your light body that way, which Christianity teaches that you will ultimately be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. This is an end time scenario, the second coming again. Or you will elect to consciously begin to work on your ascension while you're still in the body. And you will begin to perfect your body. And how you do that is up to you. It could be with smart skin. It could be with implantation of new technology. You could get on some skin cell programs where you're regrowing your organs so that you can prolong your aging. And this is certainly one of the benefits of this technology, because if you believe we only get one shot at life, as Christianity teaches, they don't believe in reincarnation like Eastern religions do. I believe in reincarnation, by the way. But if you believe you only get one shot, then how self-responsible should you be to take care of this fragile gift from God that God has given you in order to attain your spiritual goals? And the ultimate answer from the Skingularitas is that you should do everything you can to preserve and protect your fragile gift from God, your fragile body. And so this is...
Well, let me jump in right there, William. That's... It's about as heavy as it gets. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We're going to get all of these calls in before the end of the show. Stay right there. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM.